Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 through 25. This is God's word. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, and especially that you may prophesy. For the person who speaks in another tongue is not speaking to people, but to God, since no one understands him. He speaks mysteries in the spirit. On the other hand, the person who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and consolation. The person who speaks in another tongue builds himself up, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. I wish all of you spoke in other tongues, but even more that you prophesied. The person who prophesies is greater than the person who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so that the church may be built up. So now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you speaking in other tongues, how will I benefit you unless I speak to you with a revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? Even lifeless instruments that produce sounds, whether flute or harp, if they don't make a distinction in the notes, how will what is played on the flute or harp be recognized? In fact, if the bugle makes an unclear sound, who will prepare for battle? In the same way, unless you use your tongue for intelligible speech, how will what is spoken be known? For you will be speaking into the air. There are doubtless many different kinds of languages in the world. None is without meaning. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker will be a foreigner to me. So also you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, seek to excel in building up the church. Therefore, the person who speaks in another tongue should pray that he can interpret. For if I pray in another tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing praise with the spirit, and I will also sing praise with my understanding. Otherwise, if you praise with the spirit, how will the outsider say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not know what you are saying? You may very well be giving thanks, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in other tongues more than all of you. Yet in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding in order to teach others also than 10,000 words in another tongue. Brothers and sisters, don't be childish in your thinking, but be infants in regard to evil and adult in your thinking. It is written in the law, I will speak to this people by people of other tongues and by the lips of foreigners, and even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Speaking in other tongues, then, is intended as a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers, while prophecy is not for unbelievers, but for believers. If therefore the whole church assembles together and all are speaking in other tongues and people who are outsiders or unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your minds? But if all are prophesying and some unbeliever or outsider comes in, he is convicted by all and is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart will be revealed. And as a result, he will fall face down and worship God, proclaiming, God is really among you. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word. Folks, in chapter 12, the Apostle Paul introduces the subject of spiritual gifts by saying, I don't want you to be ignorant about this. I don't want you to lack understanding when it comes to spiritual gifts. And he describes three kinds of gifts, if you will. In chapter 12, beginning in verse 4, he says, now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God produces each gift in each person. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. And then he begins to list some of those manifestations of the Holy Spirit. As he does so, he talks about our relationship in the body and how the purpose of these gifts is for the good of the body. And we talked about the difference between the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts are not the indication of the spirituality of the individual. They are a manifestation of God's love for the body. The fruit of the Spirit, which is summed up in love, chapter 13, the fruit of the Spirit is the evidence of true spirituality. So in chapter 12, you get this list of manifestations of the Spirit. And then in chapter 13, we're told, if you manifest all kinds of gifts, all kinds of evidences of God's power, but you do not have love, you're just a noisemaker. It amounts to nothing. You are empty. You do not profit. Love is the evidence of God's life in us. And then in chapter 14, Paul's going to compare and contrast two of these manifestations of the Spirit, prophecy and tongues, because apparently in Corinth, tongues was a really big deal. It was something that was very exciting to the people. It was a joy for them to come together and pour out their hearts to God, feeling very close to God because they had this manifestation of the Spirit. And Paul said, just as he did in an earlier chapter regarding the way they celebrated communion, your services do more harm than good. He says, if you act in a way that's going to cause people just to think you're crazy, you're not using the gifts properly. Now, some people want to, if they don't like the way that gifts are being exercised, they want to say, well, those aren't valid gifts. Because if those were really the work of the Holy Spirit, they wouldn't be acting that way. They're just acting crazy. And believe me, I've seen a lot of crazy stuff. Okay? A lot of behaviors that were not glorifying to God. But Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, doesn't say, you know, those gifts you're displaying, those are counterfeit gifts. That's not the real thing. He doesn't say that. If you look back in chapter 1, verse 7, he says that the Corinthians are lacking no gift. They've got all the gifts. He doesn't say, yeah, but some of them aren't real. He says, no, I thank God that you have all these gifts. It's wonderful. But then in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, you, however, even though you've got these spiritual gifts, you are not spiritual people. You're fleshly, carnal. You are worldly. You are behaving as if you are mere humans. That's the conclusion of chapter 3. You're behaving as if you're mere humans. I cannot count the number of times I've heard someone try and justify their missteps by saying, well, after all, I'm only human. My response is, well, you need to be born again. You can't, as a Christian, claim to be only human. If you are in Christ, Christ is in you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and together we are being built into a spiritual habitation for God. And so to act as if, well, yeah, I can't help it, I'm only human. That's a lie from the enemy, unless you're unsaved. And if you're unsaved, repent. Come to Jesus. Receive him as your Lord and Savior. Don't just ask for forgiveness. Ask him to give you new life. You ought to be able to say with the Apostle Paul, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. So our spiritual gifts are to be guided by love. The way that we pursue spiritual gifts and the way we exhibit spiritual gifts should be guided by love, wanting to bless and build up the body. And our corporate worship should be the overflow of our private worship. And it should be focused on God for the benefit of others. And we'll say more about that when we look at verses 26 through 40. But corporate worship should be a time when the people of God who've been worshiping all week, every day, gather together and celebrate the gospel. Exalt Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to be doing. As we do that, all the gifts are good. All of them. But how we display and utilize the gifts should be geared for the glory of God and for the benefit of other members of the body.
When you look back on your life, who comes to mind as someone who helped you when you struggled? You have the opportunity to be that person for a child in crisis. A growing number of people are committing to leave a gift in their will to organizations who care for children who are searching for healing and hope. Where's Valley Ranch is that place, and the healing and hope are found in Christ. After your family is cared for, would you please consider including a gift in your will to Where's Valley Ranch? When you do, you will become a member of Legacy 145, declaring Yahweh to the next generation. Learn more about Legacy 145 by going to wvr.org and click on the link. Again, the link for Legacy 145 can be found on our website at wvr.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is, and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are,
you really think all the gifts are good? I just have to tell you, not everybody thinks so. There are some people who don't even like to talk about the term spiritual gifts because we might veer into something weird, okay? It's just kind of spooky. I grew up in a situation where you don't talk about spiritual gifts. And then you sing an old song like Martin Luther, and he has that line in there about the Spirit and the gifts are ours. And I'm thinking, well, not in this church. You know, there are a lot of people who just, it's just creepy. People might act weird. You think the Corinthians didn't act weird? Paul has to warn them against behaving in a way that's going to cause outsiders who come in to think you're crazy. And in the verses that we'll look at next time in the latter half of the chapter, he tells them, don't do this. If you're going to do this, only do it this much and do it this way. And then it must only be under these circumstances. In the passage we just read, he says, you need to be sensitive to the view of outsiders. And part of that is this. It's not that we're worshiping, just putting on a show for the benefit of outsiders. It's that if we want to please the God who came to seek and to save that which was lost, then we need to be concerned about how we present the truth of what we are doing to outsiders. There is a seeker-friendly service model that basically says you never want to say or do anything that might be offensive to people who don't love Jesus, or even to somebody who does love Jesus but doesn't have the same views that you do. Just anything that might be controversial. I've literally been told that by a guy who was for a while the pastor of the fastest growing church in America. Do not ever say or do anything that might be offensive or controversial on a Sunday morning. Okay? He subsequently lost his church because apparently he was a serial adulterer. Okay? I'm just telling you, if your goal is first and foremost, don't offend, you are in the wrong church. If, on the other hand, you are prayerfully seeking to honor the Lord, but to do it in a way that hopefully is going to be intelligible, it will be something people can follow. Linear thought, for example. Okay? If that is the goal, is to try and communicate. I know churches where the preacher would not speak in tongues, but the preacher deliberately cultivates a vocabulary that is designed to impress and sometimes, I'm afraid, to obfuscate. I don't know that word, obfuscate. It means to make something not as clear or to make it very impressive. And so the vocabulary is such that children definitely will not understand. The greatest compliments I've received are from parents who said, my children were asking questions about what you said on the way home. I love that. Why? Because that's the way Jesus taught. I want to be understood. Okay? The reason I don't use my beloved King James English is because the goal of the King James translation was to put the Bible in the language of the people so they could understand. Well, the people's language has changed. And I want people to understand the gospel. The goal is intelligible speech. Now, the Apostle Paul says that he's confident that all language has meaning. But he says, if I'm speaking in a language that has no meaning for the hearers, then I'm not building them up. It's wonderful to speak in tongues. Did you know that? All the gifts are good. All the gifts are good, including tongues. Look at chapter 14, verses 4 and 5. The person who speaks in another tongue builds himself up. But the one who prophesies builds up the church. I wish all of you spoke in other tongues, but even more that you prophesied. Why? To build up the body, to strengthen the body. Look at verse 15 in chapter 14. Verse 15 says, what then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing praise with the Spirit, and I will also sing praise with my understanding. Look at verse 18. I thank God that I speak in other tongues more than all of you. Yet in the church, verse 19, I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding in order to teach others also than 10,000 words in another tongue. He is comparing in the church the value of tongues versus the value of prophecy. And he says, when you prophesy, what you're doing is encouraging others. Look at verse 3. The person who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and consolation. I thought prophecy was telling the future. Well, sometimes it is. But primarily, so much so that he doesn't even mention telling the future here, primarily, prophecy speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and consolation. It is proclaiming the Word of God in a way that people can benefit from it. People can hear it, understand it, and put it into practice. That's what prophecy is about. And Paul says, that's what you ought to be aiming for. Why? So that I can be more important, because the one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues. That's not the point. The reason you ought to be aiming for prophecy and wanting to prophesy is because you ought to be wanting to build one another up. He's just contrasting two of the gifts here. What about all these other things in chapter 12? The same applies to them. Whatever you're doing needs to be done as an expression of love, not only for God, but for others. All the gifts are to be used to build up the body. Jesus said, don't be like the Pharisees. Avoid, watch out for their yeast, which is pride. Pride puffs up. You can look good, but on the inside, you're hollow. That was the problem that he talked about in chapter 13. He says, if I've got all these gifts, but I don't have love, I'm empty. I don't benefit anybody. There's no gain. It's just looking good on the outside. You might even smell good. But if you're empty, if it's just hot air, if it's just pride, it's worthless. So, all the gifts are good. All the gifts. But the Corinthians are told when they're celebrating the Lord's Supper, should Christians celebrate the Lord's Supper? Absolutely. But Paul says, the way you're going about it does more harm than good. Well, likewise, their exercise of the spiritual gifts was not good, was not benefiting the body. It was not a good witness to outsiders. The reason he says that tongues is a sign for unbelievers is he's saying it doesn't generate faith. God says when the unbelievers hear that, they're not convinced. Even on the day of Pentecost, when tongues was a surprise manifestation of the Holy Spirit among God's people who were filled with his Spirit, there were those who heard and understood because they heard in their own language. And they were drawn. But there were others who didn't understand, and they said, these people must just be drunk. If there's not clarity, if there's not understanding, if there's not interpretation, then it's not going to benefit others. And Paul says, I speak in tongues more than all of you, but not in church. Not when we gather. Because the goal is to build others up. Prophecy has much greater value within the gathering of believers. Okay? So tongues is basically worthless. No! He says, I speak in tongues more than all of you. Don't try and convince me, Paul says, about the value of tongues. I wish all of you spoke in tongues. It's great. It's wonderful. But when you come together, we're talking about something different. Paul says, if you're going to speak in tongues in the gathering, no more than two or at the most three. You just hear it's like a parent, you know. It's like no more than two or at the most three. Okay? Or to speak in tongues. And they have to do it one at a time. And only if there's an interpreter. If you speak in tongues, you ought to pray for interpretation. If God doesn't give you the gift of interpretation, don't do it in the public assembly. That's what he says. He says, now, if you speak in tongues because this other person has the gift of interpretation, okay, no more than two or at the most three, got to be one at a time. And when we look at the rest of the chapter, we'll talk more about what that looks like, okay? But I want you to get this. The point is not tongues is bad, prophecy is good. The point is you're supposed to be building one another up. And you don't do that by saying a bunch of things to each other that nobody can understand. When you speak in tongues, you're speaking to God. Was it okay to, like, quietly pray in tongues? Sure. But please, don't feel that you haven't really been to church unless it was a circus. God wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth, and this chapter will conclude with the verse, everything is to be done decently and in order. That's what God wants. And after all, it's his body.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.